Listen, I wanted to tell you something that I've said many times, but I don't know that the majority of you have heard it, and I think that it's a big yesod in the whole parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shivim Zkenim. The first thing I want to tell you is that the parsha of Moshe and his apparatus of judging is mentioned in three parshiyos in the Torah. That itself is sort of like a chiddush to see it that way. Parsha number one, of course, Yisra. Parsha number two, Baal Oisecha. Parsha number three, Devarim. Yisra features here front row center. In Baal Oisecha, he doesn't exist, and that's not such a chiddush, but it is a chiddush in Devarim. And in fact, if we look at the parsha of Baal Oisecha, if we leave the parsha of Baal Oisecha aside for a moment, and we draw on a sheet of paper a line down the center, and take the psukim of Yisrael and the Eifsa that Yisrael gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we put it on the right side, right down underneath the rubric of Yisrael. And then take what Moshe Rabbeinu says at the beginning of Parshas Devarim and put it on the left side under the rubric Devarim, you will see extraordinary parallels of language. For example, he says, "Va'atosech ezeh mikol ha'om, anshei chayil, yirei elikim, anshei emes sonei vatza." V'samta aleihem sarei alofim, sarei meyoz, sarei chamishim, v'sarei asaros. V'shafetu es ha'om b'chol eis, v'yokol ha'dover ha'godol yaviu eilecho, v'chol ha'dover ha'kodon yishpituhem, v'hakel me'olecho v'nasu itach. That's the Lashon of Yisrael. And in fact, it is Yisrael's Lashon. It is the Lashon that Yisrael is giving at Eitzah, and that's the parsha of Atasech Ezeh. As you all know, the famous vart of the Rav Shapiro, the one who, not you, but the one who started the Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro, and he said, why isn't the Pasha called Novel Tibo? Because that's when Yisrael starts to talk. Why is it Vata Sechazet? Because it says the Lashon in the Chazal, that he was Moisif the Pasha of Vata Sechazet. So therefore they were Moisif and Os Al Shmo. So he answered, everybody can identify the problem. That's not such a chiddush. It's the solution that's the chiddush. The solution begins with Va'atasech Ezeh. That's what Yisrael contributed. Everybody saw the problem, and nobody knew how to extricate themselves from it. I'd like to speak a little bit about what that problem was, even though it sounds like it's very partial what the problem was. Everybody's falling apart. Moshe Rabbeinu's falling apart, and the people are falling apart waiting. I'd like to discuss that a little bit, but I want to show you the parallel pasuk. So, in the beginning of Devarim, it says, and by the way, you know my shita, whenever you find things that are disparate enough, there's no point in comparing them, because they have nothing to do with each other. But when you find things that have similarities, that's when it's very kedai to point out differences. Because you see that you have a common denominator, so why are they different after all? So there is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. In the beginning of Devarim, Yisrael's name is not mentioned at all. Nor is the context of Yisrael, namely, that he's sitting min ha-boiker ado erev, and that somebody is coming to him, namely Yisrael, and suggesting a better way. Nevertheless, it says as follows: Va'omar aleichem ba'es ha'hilemor lo uchal levadi se'es eschem. Okay, so there is a problem, and the problem is that Moshe Rabbeinu can't handle it. It sounds like the same problem. So if that's the case, you have a tremendous stira in the comparison, because here in Yisro it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was approached by Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu sounds very frozen, ki'ilu, in his way. Min HaBoker Ad HaErev, he's just adjudicating case after case, small and big, the same. And he doesn't have a solution to the problem. The Yisro comes with the Va'at HaSechazeh. So who's telling him? An outsider. And here, what does it say? That Moshe Rabbeinu complained, Lo Uchal Levadi Se'ezeschem. We don't have a record of that in Yisro. Furthermore, Hashem Lokechem Yirbo Eschem Yirchem Hayom Kekochvei HaShamayim LaRov Hashem Lokechem Yosechem Yosef Alechem Kochem Elef Pamim V'chulu Eicho Eso Levadi Torchachem Masachem V'rivchem. Also, seems to be something strange. What is it? In the, if you look at Yisro, the adjudications that Moshe is responsible for sounds like the typical involvements of people who could all be tzaddikim. But nevertheless, you know, the Vilna Gaon says, what's the Shaar HaIr? That's where Beis Din sits. What's Rechayv HaIr? That's the Shuk, the marketplace where the business people make their transactions. That's the Wall Street of the time. So why are Beis Din sitting B'Shaar HaIr next to the Rechayv HaIr, which is right outside the city? Because they'll always have asokim and cases, and they'll have the Beis Din at hand to adjudicate the cases. Does that mean that all the business people are Rishayim and Gazlonim? No. Because this is the nature of two people getting involved with one another in a transaction, that inevitably there could be differences of opinion or discussions about what's what. And then there are 1,000 other shaylos lahalacha. You're just given a Torah, and the Torah needs to be explicated, and the circumstances of life are such that there's always something unusual or different coming up, and who are they going to turn to? They'll turn to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they don't have anyone else to turn to, yet. So you could be very wonderful and still have a need for a posik and a dayan. And if that person is only Moshe Rabbeinu, then it could be Novo Tibo Gama Tova Gama Masher Tov. But you would not say, and nor does Yisrael suggest, that what they're piling on Moshe is Torchachem, Masachem, V'rivchem in a very negative way. We relain it with the Nigun of Eicha. There's nothing in Yisro that we lane with the Nigun of Eicha, because there's no Eicha component. So what's going on? So we have already Moshe Rabbeinu was talking, as opposed to Yisro, and Moshe Rabbeinu was talking in a very plaintive voice, where you see that there's a problem in dealing with the people that goes beyond the need that they have for the day-to-day adjudications that Yisro was talking about. Then furthermore, it says, Havu lochem anoshim chachomim unavonim v'yiduim l'shifteichem, right? V'asimim b'rosheichem. Oh, so you see here that Moshe Rabbeinu is suggesting these kind of people. And what about the Sarei Alof and Sarei Meos that Yisro was suggesting? Oh, it's right here. V'ekach es roshei shifteichem anoshim chachomim v'yiduim, v'atein osom roshim aleichem, Sarei Alofim, v'Sarei Meos, v'Sarei Chamishim, v'Sarei Asaros, v'shoterim l'shifteichem. So you have, l'cha'ira, clearly, the exact circumstance of Yisro in an entirely different modality. It's almost like two witnesses observe the scene, and one sees a tranquil, bucolic scene, and the other one sees a scene that's full of turmoil and adversity. And they both saw exactly the same thing. L'cha'ira, we're describing the exact same event. And this is the Chazarish here, Eilu Advarim Asher Dibar Moshe, about that event. And yet the Chazarish here does not mirror the original at all. It's much darker, more gloomy, more negative. And furthermore, it seems to be crystal clear that it's Moshe Rabbeinu's suggestion in Dvarim, when it's equally crystal clear that Moshe Rabbeinu is almost helpless, kevayochol, and he's just doing what he feels compelled to do, and it's Dafka Yisrael's suggestion. Atmeha, to Peleth. Now, we have a parsha, Baal Oischa. Where does Baal Oischa come into the picture? So everybody knows, I think, what the Rav said about parshas Baal Oischa. There is in Baal Oischa a massive shift in the tone of Sefer Bamidbar. Now, we also know that Bamidbar is one sefer but it's also perceived as three Svarim. How is it three Svarim? The answer is because Vayhi ben Soa Aron is regarded with V'nuchu Yomar, those two psukim, as a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo. And therefore, what was once one Sefer, so to speak, in our perception, and it remains so, we have Chamit Chumshei Torah. We do not speak about seven Chumshei Torah, but Bamidbar, in some sense, is divided by a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai, so that Bamidbar turns out to be the Sefer number one of Bamidbar before Vayhi ben Soa. Then Vayhi ben Soa on a Sefer number two, and Sefer number three of Bamidbar is the part of Bamidbar that is after Vayhi ben Soa's Parsha. What is that all about? So the Rav pointed out that the tragedy of Baal Yischa is that they were on the verge of ultimate Hatzlacha. And things then unraveled, and once they started to unravel, they just unraveled mightily, and they just kept going. What is the experience of the beginning of Baal Yischa? Okay? It talks about the Levium working in the Beis HaMikdash, and it speaks about people who cannot make the Korban Pesach still have a second chance. And then it speaks about the Onon traveling with them, and it divides the encampment, how they're supposed to travel through the desert, and they are provided with Chatzotzros, and you use these chatzotzos even when you'll have a battle or war in your own land. Everything, in other words, we're on the move and we're going to Eretz Yisrael, and we have all of our apparatus that we need. The structure is there. The Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. He hovers over us. He gives us an onon. Vayesh Asher Onon Me'erev Adbokeh V'Nalo Onon. We are going with Dvar Hashem. We're not going with scouts. We're not going with material, reasons or purposes. Looking for water or finding a more appropriate place to live. We are going only al pi dvar Hashem, al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisou, es mishmeres Hashem shamaru, al pi Hashem biyach. That's it. All of a sudden, and that's Vayhi ben Soa Aron vayomer Moshe. Until that point. And not only that, it says in by Chamishi, we're already by Chamishi, and everything is wonderful. Chamishi in Baal Yischa, everything is wonderful. Vayhi bashana hashenis bachodesh hasheni, be'esrim bachodesh, na'alo ha'onon me'al mishkan ha'edus. Suddenly, they see that the onon is on the move. When? Bashana hashenis bachodesh hasheni. A very short time from the time that they left Mitzrayim, and they've already had their Kriyas Yamsuf, and they've had their Matan Torah. Things have been happening. It was not an idle year. And now they are ready to move and go to Eretz Yisrael. And that's it. And they do. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael l'maseim b'midbar Sinai, vayishkon ha'onon b'midbar Paran, vayisu b'rishona al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe. They are going al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe. And it describes the machanos al tzva this and al tzva that. You all know. Vayoyme Moshe lechayvav ben Ruel hamidyoni. It happens to be by sheer coincidence that Yisrael's name is mentioned here in the chaysin Moshe. Noisim anachnu al amokam ashaoma Hashem also etain lochem lechayitano. We're going. You see clearly the feeling. Move is in the air. The onon is going. The onon stops. They go with the onon wherever the onon goes and takes them. But they know where they're headed. No semanachnu elamokim. Okay. Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloshes yomim v'aron bris Hashem nosei lifneim derech shloshes yomim losur lahem menucha. That's Vayhi ben Soa Aron. Right after Vayhi ben Soa Aron, Vayhi Ha'am kimis onanim ra biozne Hashem. Vayishma Hashem vayichara po vativa arbom eish Hashem vatochal biktzei hamachane. Rashi says, Ein om ela rishoyim kimisonim ein misonim elaloshan alila mevakshim alila hech lifrosh me'achare hamakom. They. In other words, there was a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu going on here. They received the Torah, they were on the move to Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden a rebellion erupted. What's the rebellion? Normally, there was a complaint about some need that they had. They have no water, they have no food, they have no this, they have no that. The Mitzrim are chasing us, they're going to catch up with us. In other words, the chesaron is a tremendous chesaron, maybe in emuna or in bitachon, but it's not a rebellion against Hashem. It's on the contrary, like, you know, we're desperate. It is even times that they cry out to Hashem. Ayom Hashem al Moshe mat tzak elai. Don't ain ze eis tefila. Lo achshav lispalu. They were mispaluim. They cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, there's a rebellion. We don't even know what the rebellion was. What was it about? In the psukim. The psukim don't tell you. But there was this big fire. Now, all of a sudden. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning of a tremendous unraveling. A tremendous rupture in their relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with Moshe Rabbeinu, in Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship with them, and in the end leads to one machlokes after another, which never existed before, the machlokes of Dasan Vaviram and Korach, and the problem of the Meraglim, Shlach, Korach, Balak, Bilam's problems, and it's just not the same anymore. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu does not live to see, to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the sojourn is not a year, and then you go into Eretz Yisrael. We're on the march. It is 40 years. Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. How does it begin? It begins with Kivris HaTava. With Tavera, excuse me. Then it says, Vasafsu Fasher Bekirbo His Avu Tava. Vayoshuvu Vayivku Gam B'nei Yisrael Vayomu Miyachi Leinu Basar. Now, there is no problem with food. Not only is there no problem with food, it is the ideal food. There's no problems with indigestion, no tums for the tummy. There's no problem with elimination. There was no elimination. It was absorbed in the Avarim. It was pure food, the kind that the astronauts would love to eat. No elimination, no bathrooms. And then, to top it all off, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to let you taste anything you want to taste. So if you want an ice cream sundae, it's an ice cream sundae. If you want a delicious steak, it's a delicious steak. It's the perfect food. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides it for them without any tircha whatsoever. It's there every morning, and you just go out and collect it. Each person collects the proper amount, and it's enough for them, and they are totally nourished. It has every vitamin, it has every possible ingredient that you could need or want, both for your physical welfare as well as for your personal hanah. What's the problem? If we have nothing to eat and we're starving and we think we're going to die, that's a problem. What is the problem? So they say, I'll tell you what the problem is. Vayoshuv vayivku gam b'nei Yisrael. Somebody told me that he was once at a, I don't know if he was telling the truth, it was just making it up, but he was once at an Aguda convention and he sees somebody sitting on a lounge chair in the lobby and he's bawling like a baby. So he was interested to find out who is the tremendous Magid Shir, or who is the tremendous Darshan that has made a presentation that this person is still crying in the lobby, you know, a half an hour later, bawling like a baby. So he goes over to me, says, who inspired you? I want to hear the drasha, I'll get the tape. He says, what are you talking about? He says, why are you crying? He says, you know why I'm crying? I didn't realize that they would have this delicious ice cream and I just ate a piece of meat. So I think he was making fun of this whole idea, you know, that you go to a convention to be inspired. Yeah. Anyhow, the point is that these people are crying. They're crying. Their mom is crying. It's not. So you can complain. Complain means that you're not a nice person. You're a kafui taifa. You're not grateful. But you don't cry. Crying means that you're desperate. Crying means that it really is eating you up. What's the problem? The problem is here, the problem was there's no pleasures. And this takes the cake. Zocharnu es hadoga asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam es hakishumim es habatichim es hachotze es habitzolim ve'es hashumim. It's a nice little, you know, list of a shopping list. Doga, the fish, and the bitzolim, the onions. My goodness. Va'ata, and what's the difference now? Nafshenu yivesha ein kol bilti el hamon einenu. It's all that ugly-looking, commonplace, communist country, you know, blah, called mon. Everybody dresses the same. Everybody looks like, you know, like a peasant. And we want fancy clothes, you know. We want color. We want a little color in our lives. We want kishuim and avatichim. You know, you make a salad. This is green and this is red. You know, you can take a beautiful picture of it. You put it in a cookbook. And you take a look at the mon and, you know, you... So the perfect food, all of a sudden, it's totally not good. It's like very interesting. You know, the ultimate kafui toivo, it's not enough for him to complain about an aspect. He has to destroy any vestige of value. That's human nature. Ha'isha asher nasata imadi. The problem was that she gave him the apple, or whatever it was. That's the problem. The problem isn't that he was married. No, she's worthless mikol v'chol. There's nothing about her that's any good. The mon, it's totally worthless. The Gemara, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, compares the two. The Gemara says, Kefuye Tova b'nei Kefuye Tova. They're Kefuye Tova. Zocharnu es hadoga shenocha b'mitzrayim chino. And b'nei Kefuye Tova, Adam Arishon, Eisha shenasata imod. It's not my comparison, it's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That is it, that hail and basic. From the top of the Amud. Yeah. Hey on the base, top of the Amud. So, Lemaisa, if they are complaining like that, it's not because they're hungry, it's because they're disgusted with the mon. And it says all kinds of things about the mon. Vayishma Moshe la'om boichele mishpachoy sov. Now, boichele mishpachoy sov. All of a sudden we are introduced to a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. What does the Gemara say? That every mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael will mekabel b'simcha, adayin hein oisin oisai b'simcha. Which mitzvah is that, v'ikar? Bris Mila. And which mitzvah that they had complaints about, that they were upset about, they're still upset about? Getting married. Kedushin. What do you mean upset? It's the biggest source of simcha. Kol sasim v'kol chasim v'kol kal. So the Gemara says something very cryptic. Leka ksuba de lo rami batigra. There's no ksuba that doesn't have a fight about it. And by the way, ksuba having a fight about it doesn't mean ksuba. It means in-laws problems. It means mechutanim problems. It means fighting over the color of the napkins at the wedding. It means all of that stuff. It doesn't mean just the ksuba. But there's always a fight about the ksuba. You didn't put in enough, you didn't do it this way, you didn't do it that way. That's what it means. So, it's supposed to be a blessed moment. It's supposed to be the ultimate moment. It's a union that starts min ha-shamayim and creates kedusha. Kedushin, I have to tell you what kedushin is. But they don't see any of that. Why not? Because it started wrong. It started on the left foot. It started on the wrong foot. Why did it start on the wrong foot? They came out of the Matan Torah and they saw all these restrictions, you know. They saw all these restrictions. Boy, do you know how to walk out at the right time. Anyhow, Baichel and Mishpachaisav, Rashi says, Mishpachais ne'asafim u'baichim lefar seim tarumasam begoli. Rashi first says the Pashup Shat. What does Baichel and Mishpachaisav have to do with the mon that they were complaining about? So he says, you know what happened over here? They made an asik out of it. It wasn't enough that if some people, you know, are upset here and a few people are upset there. Every person gathered his whole family together, and he told them the matzav. We're eating man, and we have no kishuim and avatim and betzolim and shumim. Halavai avdevelt gezok this problem, but they have this tremendous problem, and they're not satisfied with holding it inside themselves. And hoping for the best, they gather all their mishpacha and they make a revolution about it. Everybody's tumbling. Every household is complaining about the man. Then Rashi says, "Rabboseinu amru," that what does it mean? Boicha lemishpachosav al iskei mishpachos al arayos haneesaros lahem. Yeah. So Chachamim learned that from day one, the parish of Arayas, of not having total access, of not being able to satisfy my taiva with anybody at any time. But Hashem, the world is coming very much back to that, so they don't have to worry about it anymore. And there's no revayim. No revayim. There's no such thing as a relationship, bechlal keman, anymore. It's like today with this one, tomorrow with that one, and then sometimes with both of them, bevasachas. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's moving in, moving out. It's like, you know, like Chazal described the Rambam as Koydim Matan Torah. It's worse than Koydim Matan Torah. You know, marriage maybe, and even marriage. What's marriage? It's I'm not getting into that. But Lamaisa, it's very similar to this Baruch Lim Shpachaisa business. They were free to do whatever they wanted. All of a sudden, the Kodesh gives them a Torah. But I have a tremendous kasha, and it's not a digression. It's very much to the point. If you're learning like the first pshat of Rashi, then Rashi's explaining that Boich L'Mishpachosah follows as part of the story and on the heels of the previous psukim, that not only were they complaining personally and privately to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say each head of the household, but they were gathering the households together and making a whole gerida. They were making a big tumult. But if Mishpachosah is according to the Chazal that they were complaining about the parish of Arayas, well, what are they complaining about? The Arayas or the Mon? They're thinking about the fish? They're thinking about the French fries that they had? Or are they thinking about what they lost, that they don't have the arayas that they wanted to have? So you know what the answer is? I'll tell you what the answer is. And this is really part of the tailspin that Bahaloscha describes after Vayi ben Soya, after that next, the third chelik of Bamidbar. There's nothing that cannot be interpreted l'toiva. And especially something that's good. And if you have the right set of eyes, and you look at something like marriage, then you realize that the pluses will outweigh whatever negatives you could imagine. Nobody marries a perfect wife. There's no such thing as a perfect wife. And you better be happy that she's willing to marry you, because you're far from a perfect specimen yourself. And certainly me included. And therefore, there's a lot of give and take. Marriage makes a person, in order for it to work, he has to acknowledge his own personal weaknesses. He has to realize if she's willing to accept me, I have to accept her, and vice versa. Marriage is a union, it's a bond, it's an opportunity to create a family. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. Marriage is commitment, marriage is vision. Marriage is 1,000 things that are far more important and lofty than the quickie and the temporary satisfaction of a maisa. And when you have restrictions and structures, it adds kedusha to the entire edifice of not only your family, but your community. Now, the Rav used to always speak about a covenantal community. There's no such thing as a covenantal community without the restrictions of arayas. Because each little community has its rules, just like the covenantal community has its rules. But if a person wants to be negative, and he doesn't have these lofty aspirations, then marriage is fettering and binding. Marriage is restricting you. Marriage forces you into a matzav which you don't want anymore and which you're not happy with. It doesn't let your wings soar. It doesn't let you fly. It doesn't let you enjoy life. It doesn't give you the opportunity to share with other women or other men, and so on and so forth. So you can be very upset about the very same thing that is extremely positive if you see it in the right way. That's what happened when they got into the thing with the mon. They refused to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gifts. They refused to acknowledge Drachei Adarchei Noam V'chol Nesivosei HaShalom. They refuse to be willing to say, you know, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is L'toiv Aseinu. Let's figure out what the L'toiv Aseinu is in this parasha of Arayos. And let's welcome it. Let's embrace it. And that really started with that antagonism. And that antagonism started with the first misonanim. They're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Everything is wonderful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is so palpable. And they've received the Torah. They just said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber ato imanu v'nishmoa. V'al yedaber elokim imanu pen nomus. Panim b'fonim diber Hashem imochem. And it's perfect. It's wonderful. And you're a unique people. Mamlechas kainim v'goy kodesh. Who doesn't want to be Mamlechas kainim v'goy kodesh? What do I want to be? Another behemoth? And suddenly the Yetzirah, the Taiva, started eating up at least a segment of the people, and they don't want to buy into it. They don't want any part of it. And from not being happy with the Mon is not being happy with the Parsha of Arayos. They don't see anything positive. They just see one restriction after another. It's unbelievable. What do you mean I'm not allowed to look at a beautiful woman? What do you mean I have to be shame in the gear? What does that mean? What does it mean? I want to touch her. I want to hold her. What are you doing to me? What are you doing to my natural feelings? What are you doing to my instincts? Then don't make me with those instincts. Why do I have to walk around frustrated a whole day? You can turn the good thing into a bad thing in a second. I have the whole vocabulary for it. So what's the teretz? The teretz is it's a matter of how what kind of eyes you have. And what kind of eyes you have has to do with what kind of heart you have. Same thing. And you can see it in this light, and you can see it in the opposite light. The ruchnius is goiver, it's wonderful. If the gashmius is goiver, it's terrible. So you have this tailspin. By Yishma, well, now listen. How much time do we have? 2 hours? 2 minutes? Vayishma'am boicha lemishpachaysav ish pesach ha'alay vayicha af Hashem miyoid. And here's the words ube'enei Moshe ra. This is a new one. Hashem gets angry at Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu always runs into the breach to save them and to protect them. Always. Never again. Never going to be the same. Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem loma harayosa l'avdecha. Why did you burden me with this people? Did I? Is it my responsibility as a mother to her child that I give birth to these people? That you are making me responsible for them, and I have to suffer all of these absurd people who can't even see the good for what it is? I didn't give birth to them. I'm not pregnant with them that I have to kisoma elai that you should tell me so eyu bechaykecha kashayiso omen esayonek. I don't have to carry them. Alo adom ashenishbato lavosov all the way till the land of, to the promised land. May I inli basol aseisul cholam azeh ki yifku alai lemar tnolanu basov enochela. Listen to the words. Lo uchal anochi levadi laseises kolam azeh ki kaved mimeni. Where did we see those words just before? Dvarim. Pele. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eitzah? That he says, V'im kocha atos ali, and if it continues like this, I'd rather die. That's unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened? Im atos ali, hargeini naharog. Im matzasi chayim beinacho. V'al ere bera'asi. What is al ere bera'asi? What does it mean? Al ere bera'asi. Ube'enei Moshe ra, al ere bera'asi. Sokt Rashi, bera'asam ha'yolo lichtov. Ela shekino ha'kosov. V'ze echod mitikunei soifrim b'teira, lekinu yu litikun lasham. It should have said, I don't want to say any more there ra. Al ere bera'asi. So we don't even understand. So what, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to suffer that he's complaining about himself just because we want to fix the pasuk? And what does it mean? Bechlal tikun sofrim. Who fixed the pasuk? So it says the Baruch Shalom fixed the pasuk. And we're not tampering with pasukim because we don't like the lashon of the pasukim. You know, it's like saying Soneim Shal Yisrael when you mean Yisrael, Baloshon Saginar, because you want to say anything negative about Yisrael. So he says, Alei Rebbe Rossi. It could be that what he was saying was, it really Barasim, but I don't even want to say it. But I think Barasim means something else, at least Kipshutai. One of the Pshatim. Barasim means that the Einei Moshe Ra, he can't take. He says, if I can have that feeling about them, I don't want to be the manik anymore. I want to be a manik who loves his people. I want to be a manik who always sees good. My Yankala, he's terrific. My Yankala, he's wonderful. My Yankala, he's the best. Zocharti lo chesed noraycha, bein yakir li Ephraim im yelet shashun, kimi de dabri bo zochar eskerenu. That's what I want. I want a bein yakir li. And if I can see a people, barah, ube'enei Moshe Ra, for the first time, I'm not a manig anymore. I can't do this. V'al ereb ra'asi, in the Ra that I see in them, that I consider it Ra. I was always advocating them. And now I can't handle it. I can't stand them. I can't withstand them. And I can't stand them. They're asking for Doga and Kishum and Avatichim. Where am I going to get Basa for them? What kind of, what is this? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu now? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, listen. You know, I carry these people, you know, and I know who they are, and I know that they have their inyonim, and, you know, listen. Yitaka didn't give birth to them, but you're a great manik, and you're the only manik that they deserve, and the only manik that they'll have, and it'll be all right, and we'll share in the tzar. Of having to deal with them, and let's go on. Imagine a very successful business manager would talk to one of his people who just got frustrated to the bone that the whole group messed up a project and they ruined everything for the last 3 months that they were working on, and he comes to the project manager, comes to his superior, and he's going out of his mind. He says, you know, I just can't continue. Tomorrow's another day. So it's ain't good. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayom HaShem al Moshe esfol yishivim ish mizikna Yisrael asher yodato ki heim zikna ha'om b'shol terav v'lokachto osam el ohel moed v'siyatzvu shom imoch v'yoradati v'dibarti imcho v'shom v'otzalti min aruch asher alecho v'samti aleihem v'nosu itocho b'maso ha'om v'lo siso ato levadecho. Wait a minute. When Yisro came and he gave the advice, which was much earlier than this moment, it was already Lo Sisa Atol Levadecha. So what is that Kadosh Baruch Hu saying? Go get yourself Shivim Ish. This whole hierarchy. And how is that a solution to the problem? Because he says, Olcha Levadi Seisischem. What's going on over here? If you have another 5 minutes, I just want to make the point. What is he saying? Anochi Harisi Esam Azeim Alochi Lidatiyu. What is he trying to say? So I'll tell you what he's saying, and I think that that's the clincher of the whole change. And I think we can put all three parashios in a context where everything is on the Kaima Yavah B'Sholem, which is a phrase I'm borrowing from Yisroi. In the imagery that Moshe Rabbeinu portrays when he's complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an extremely telling detail. It's a very big problem with this. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem comparing himself in his mashal. Am I then a what? A pregnant woman who is giving birth to her baby that I have to take care of him? So if he's not, he has no problem comparing himself to a pregnant woman, then what should have been the next step? That you should tell me, Hashem, that I have to carry her like, who carries a nursing baby? The mother or a nursemaid, but not a man. So it should have said, Ki somar Eli, that you, Hashem, should say to me, because if I would be a pregnant woman who gave birth, then you, Hashem, could say to me, so eyu b'chekecha, carry him, this baby, this complaining, crying baby, still carry him in your arms, like an oimenes is no seis es hayonek, like a nursemaid, lush in the keva, not kasher yisah omein. Where's omein? It's almost Purim. Vahi omein es hadasa. Rashi says pedagog. Let me ask you another question. What in the world is an omein going to do without breasts to feed the baby? What is the, and they didn't have bottles in those days, you know. So what is the omein going to do with the baby that's nursing and crying, I want milk? So not only does he change from a Lashon Nekeva to Lashon Zachar, seemingly unnecessarily, it doesn't even fit the image. You know when the pedagogue takes over, at the age of 3, 4, 5, you start training the kid. So then the father, the husband can take over. But until then, it's the mother's business. What do you have by Shmuel? He says, all right, you can take care of him until he's weaned. Then you have to give him to Eli HaKohen. This is the way it is within in all societies and in all times. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu shift? So I'll tell you why. Because you see, Chana marries Chaim Yankel. It's the same Chaim Yankel that we have in all the stories that we have in the Gemara. But Chana marries Chaim Yankel and they, Baruch Hashem, have a baby and the baby was just born. And the baby nurses and the baby sleeps on occasion. In the middle of the night, the baby starts to scream. Now Chaim Yankel sits and learns the whole day in the Beis Medrash and he's really very exhausted and she loves him and she cares about him and she really doesn't want to wake him up. So she makes a cheshbon like this. Why is he crying? He's hungry. He wants to eat. Who's going to feed him? Me. So am I going to make my husband... So what do I gain? I don't have to actually get out of bed. Getting out of bed is an asik. It is. Going out of bed, picking him up, getting back into bed. No. I'll bother my husband. I'll wake him up. For what? Just so that I have that moment that I don't have to... I have to nurse him anyhow. I have to be up anyhow. So I should wake him up? No. So she gets out of the bed herself. The nice lady, huh? She gets out of the bed herself, and she takes the baby in her arms, she nurses the baby, she puts the baby back in the crib, and Chaim Yankel is snoring away. Now, 15 minutes pass, and she falls asleep, and Chaim Yankel's asleep, and the baby wakes up, and starts to scream his head off. He has already gorged himself. He is full of milk. There's no room for another drop. Now, she wakes up, and he's still snoring away. She says to herself, listen, Mayla, the first time when the baby was hungry and he needed to eat, and I'm the provider, okay. But now, he's just kvetching. Chaim Yankel, get up! You understand the marshal? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. If I gave birth and I had a baby and I have to nurse the baby because the baby's hungry, I'm asking to nurse the baby, the baby's hungry. Even though I didn't give birth to him. But I'm not going to be the omein. I'm not going to be the Chaim Yankel because the baby's kvetching. Now listen to this. Until that point, until the Asafsuf started the snow, the avalanche of disaster after disaster, of rebellion after rebellion, of complaint after complaint, the only chesaron in them, and they had a big chesaron, they had a mice of the ego. Why did they have a mice ego? They wanted to be close to Hashem and they were upset that Moshe Rabbeinu was gone. Terrible thing, Avodah Zarah. Terrible thing making an ego. But it's Kizeh Moshe Yishlo Yadana Malayolo. We're desperate. We're unnerved. We're unbalanced. We're off balance. We're out of kilter. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu comes. He prays to them. Thanks, HaKadosh Baruch. They have no food. They're starving. Moshe Rabbeinu says, please, Ribbono Shel Olam, give them food. They have no water. The water is bitter. They can't drink from the water. All right. What's the problem? The chesaron. The chesaron is how they asked. The chesaron is lack of bitachon. But in the final analysis, they asked for something that they desperately needed. They want Ribbono Shel Olam. They made an ego. Disaster. But they wanted a Ribbono Shel Olam. They want food because they're starving. They want drink because they're dying of thirst. They're terrified of the Egyptians following them and chasing after them, and they see all three sides and four sides they're surrounded, and the situation is hopeless. They scream and they yell and they say, "I'm ibliyen kvarim b'mitzrayim." Terrible! But not anything that Moshe Rabbeinu can't handle, because until that point he's still the mother who's giving the milk. But now they have everything they need, and they're on their way, they're on the march. Everything is perfect. They have the perfect food, and they have water. And their clothing doesn't wear and tear. It's a perfect miracle clothing. Everything is going well. There are no scorpions. Nothing. The desert is an oasis of tranquility. It's the most beautiful place on earth. It's a Gan Eden itself. And they're rich and they're successful and they have a Torah and they're marching on. What are you complaining about? That's Kasha Yisar Omenes Hayonik. That's the second time around when she says, Chaim Yankel, you take it. When the omein is carrying a yonik, you know that the yonik is just screaming for no good reason. Because otherwise the mother takes it because she has to nurse. That's why he shifted the language from Lashon Nekeva to Lashon Zachar. That's why he speaks about an Omen and a Yonik. He doesn't say an Omen and a big boy. The Omen and the Yonik, they don't go together unless you have to just carry the baby around until he stops fetching. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that I did not sign up for. So Hashem says, okay. And he says, Shivimish. You know what happened? Yisrael comes and he says, I want you to live and to breathe, and the system isn't good for Klal Yisrael either. And they made a hierarchy. They made a hierarchy. But it was with one detail that was preserving the entire system in the perception of the people's eyes and in the whole technical structure as well. There's only one person on top, Moshe Rabbeinu. There are no Shivim Zakenim. No Zakenim. There's Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meos, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asaros. Every neighborhood, every community, every group, everybody has somebody to talk to and to adjudicate. And if there's a problem, who do they go to? They go to their superior. Eventually they go to Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's nobody on top. There's nobody on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. When the people see the top, the pinnacle, the ultimate authority, it's only Moshe Rabbeinu. Then something happened. And it happened in Baal Oscha. It had not happened before. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't. He's not saying, Lo Chal Levadi Seis Eschem, because I have no infrastructure. He's saying, I can't be on the top by myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. Until now, you had people with you who were part of your technical infrastructure. They're part of your Pentagon apparatus, you know, thousands of workers. But everybody's answerable to the president. In principle, at least. There's only one chief. There's only one chief. However, you can't. I'm going to make 70, and I'm going to take from your koiches and from your ruach. Since when is the dayan? The dayan is appointed. He gets smicha. What's going on over here? He should have told him. Give them all smicha. So Moshe Rabbeinu does. He gives smicha. So give them all smicha. What is vatzalti min haruach? The teretz is, are you making them not equal to you in the sense that they're like Moshe Rabbeinu, but they're on that level. Now the people will see Moshe Rabbeinu and Shivim Zakenim. And that is the reason, by the way, why there was a Meraglim, I believe, and why there was many of the other Machloikas that all started. For the first time, there was Machloikas against Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu is the one and only, and he's the Mekabel Torah Misinai, and he's the one who speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Panim B'Fonim, no one has the Ha'ozo or the Azaz to say a word. If they're complaining, they're complaining in general, but they're not, they don't try to unravel or to reduce Moshe Rabbeinu. Because there's only one Moshe Rabbeinu. And everybody saw Moshe Rabbeinu the way the Rambam sees Moshe Rabbeinu. That's it. But once there were Shivim Zakenim, so Buki Ben Yogli or this one or that one, they're also somebody. And I have my Rosh HaShevet. And Kulam Anoshim. Kulam Anoshim. And that's the case, then I can listen to other voices as well. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says, stop, they don't stop so fast. But where does that change come from? From when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo uchal levadi seis eschem. And that's why that is read in the language of Megillas Eicha. Because the remez is that at that moment, because of that comment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them Shivim Ish with Atzaltim and Aruach, that led to the Meraglim, and the Meraglim leads to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's why we read it in Megillas Eicha. What Moshe Rabbeinu is describing is Taken, what he wanted, not what Yisra wanted. That's why he says, Lo'ucha Levadi, and I said to you at that time, and Ba'isa, he does not mean when Yisra was speaking. Ba'isa means after Asafsuf and Kivas HaTaiva. When he said, Lo'ucha Levadi Seis Eschem. And the hierarchy that was created then with the Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meos, is a different structure because it's not a pyramid, it's a trapezoid, Rabbi Isai. On the top, there's a whole layer of people. There's no pinnacle, there's no apex anymore. Even though in the end, He is, as they say in the Latin phrase, primus inter pares, the first amongst equals. Abelamaisa, amongst equals, is already no good. And when Moshe Rabbeinu is the one and only, that's when the whole structure works and breathes in unison with him, and are answerable only to him, and his authority remains absolutely, impeccably unchallengeable. You cannot fight it, you cannot deny it, you cannot challenge it. But the minute there's shivim zakenim, everything shifts in the perception. Part of the tragedy of the unraveling is that Moshe Rabbeinu responds to that unraveling in that one word, Kasha Yisa Omen Asayonek. What Moshe Rabbeinu could not hear or tolerate was a people that are kefuye tova to such an extent, that are such babies, that are so limited in their perception and in their vision, that they can take something wonderful, whether it's Arayas and Mishpacha, Saliske and Mishpacha, or whether it's the Mon and this Lamana Noisoscha, Lanasoscha, Ladas, it's Hashem Uvavcha, Hasishma Mitzvaysav Imloi. Moshe Rabbeinu saw all of that being thrown into the garbage, rendered into nothingness, useless, worthless. We want Duggar, we want Duggar. Oh yeah? Kasha Yisa Omenes Hayonek. I can't do it anymore. It's an amazing thing. It was a catastrophic moment. And that moment led to one unraveling after the other. It leads to the machlokes with Korach. It leads to Maraglim. It leads to all of the disasters and catastrophes that happened subsequently. And that's why there are three svarim in Sefer Bamidbar. There's the Sefer that's on their way, on the march. There's the Vahi Ben Soh Aron that you have to go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuma Hashem V'yafutzo Ivecha. And then all of a sudden, and all of that, the people, they blew it. They blew it. Okay, we should be zoiche that we should learn the lesson. Maybe two. One on.